Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour two. Great to have you in, live in Los Angeles. It's called The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio right here, FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. Andrew Whitworth, Pro Bowl left tackle for the Rams. Hard Knocks started last night. I think Rick Bucher's coming by today. Brock Heward last hour. Joy, how are you?
I'm good. Hard Knocks was good last night. It was very interesting.
Yeah, a lot of COVID stuff.
Yes, but I was interested to see what some of the protocols were, because we have protocols to come to work.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're still socially distanced and wear masks as soon as we step off of the set. But there are, you know, football's a little more intimate. So
yeah.
I think it's very interesting, the procedures and everything that they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they have 325-pound players who tackle each other. So
right.
It's like,
well, so they're only doing walkthroughs in this Hard Knocks episode. So there's not really any contact yet. But it's still very interesting.
Yeah. So I did my, yesterday at this time, I did my NFL predictions.
Yes, and you've upset a lot of people.
Yeah, Raider fans were outraged. Seattle fans were not, but I downgraded Seattle 2 wins, and I thought about downgrading them a third over the last couple of months. I have Seattle as a wild card team only. Rams, Seahawks, it was a coin flip. I just think Russell Wilson will end up winning a game. Four things about Seattle, which I think are undeniable. The Jamal Adams trade, they gave up too much, feels a little desperate, trying to cover up for other inadequacies. Their offense is outdated, Jurassic, that's not an argument. Their offensive and defensive line regression is not, it's bad. They have the lowest rated defensive line in football. That's with Pete Carroll. And they're no longer elite at drafting. Way too many misses last several years. Bill Barnwell's a really smart guy, does a lot of analytic stuff. Agrees with me. He said the Seahawks formula is difficult to sustain. The strategy is bizarre. Pete Carroll mostly runs the football, middling average game plans, and then they need Russell Wilson to save them. In fact, the Seahawks, Barnwell notes, won 6 games last year, trailing at half. That's tied for the second most ever since 1970. It's rare to see a team that trails at half win games. They do for one reason, Russell Wilson. What Seattle has really become to me is the Houston Texans, which is a bad offensive line and a star athletic quarterback is asked to save the day and often does, and a defense with one or two stars which hide the truth. It's not very good. That's what Seattle's become. I'm not anti-Pete Carroll, but you know, I live in Southern California where Pete's an icon and a legend, and people are like, oh, you're tough on Pete. No, I'm not tough on honesty. They have bad offensive line play. They have an outdated offense. They trail at halftime. Too often, Russell Wilson has to save them. They're the Houston Texans. And the only difference is if you look at Seattle's record and compared to Houston, Seattle usually gets one more win. That's because Russell's better than Deshaun and usually saves one more game. But, you know, Seattle is a team that I think Pete now has too much power. Is he near 70? Paul Allen's death, untimely, sad, has given all the power in the organization to Pete. I think he controls draft day, free agent signings, and I don't like where they're going. I think Russell Wilson is holding this thing afloat, and I think Deshaun Watson is mostly doing the same in Houston. So college football, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have canceled. So is the Ivy League, the Mountain West, and the MAC. But the Big Ten, the Pac-12, we watch them on TV, they're canceled. The ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 are fighting it. They release schedules for the Big 12 today. I think all of college football will be shut down here in a week or two. But I'm hoping it's not. I'm a huge fan of college football. One of the problems with college football, and I've been addressing this for about 5 years. I used to talk a lot more college football. It's become very regional. The minute you become regional as a sport, I can't talk about you as much. I'm a national guy. I'm doing a national show. College football has become too Southern. Nothing against the South, but that's where all the fans are. Northeast doesn't care. Midwest is hit and miss. Denver West, I see the numbers. I see the ratings. It's too regionalized. In fact, this morning, with the Pac-12 and Big Ten out, let's put a map up. These are the ACC, Big 12, and SEC teams that will be playing the games we'll watch this year if we get just ACC, Big 12, and SEC. There's the map for the radio audience. It's Notre Dame and a bunch of schools in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, and Georgia. That looks like a college hockey footprint, except they'd be in the Northeast. College hockey is not a national sport. It's regional. Now, I think it's very solvable. I think you can do two things to solve this regional problem. Number one, right now, teams get 85 scholarships per team. Make it 70. If Clemson and Alabama both had 50 fewer scholarships, those players would go to other player teams in the conference. Alabama wouldn't have a third running back better than Florida's first. Reduce scholarships. Spread the talent out. The second thing is create an advisory board that makes schedules. Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney should not be making schedules. Can you imagine Doc Rivers saying, I don't want to play the Lakers here. I want to play the Lakers there. I don't want to travel east here. When's the last time Alabama went out of conference on the road? And the only reason they're going to do it in the future, because they've taken a ton of heat from guys like me who keep saying, give me a break. You don't get, if you had an advisory board for the schedule, you get one cupcake and then you go into 10 games in conference, period. Nick Saban can't say, what about Towson State here? And what? No, those are all off. You get one. And if you do plan out a conference game against a Power 5 team, every other year you got to go on the road. So just spread the scholarships out, 70 per team. And the NFL is a more violent game, right, than college football, significantly. They have 55 players. You get 70. You get 15 more players. And you can also, by the way, all these programs have walk-ons. You can have another 7 walk-on guys that can play special teams. But if you reduce the scholarships per team, you don't get these juggernauts who have 4-star guys literally don't play. Everybody's got 2 good running backs, and that's it. You don't get a third great running back. And it means Purdue is closer to Michigan. It doesn't mean Purdue's better than Michigan. Michigan will always be better over the course of 20 years, but they're closer. And Michigan will win 2 of 3, not 9 of 10. And Alabama will be better than, everybody in their conference. But they'll lose more in conference. And let's stop giving coaches a say in the schedules. Have an advisory board that makes schedule. Have a professional schedule board. And everybody plays the same number of conference games. Everybody gets one out-of-conference game. You don't get byes before your big rival. And yet when you go out of conference, you have to play real teams sometimes on the road. So show that map again, because this is what college football's become. If it holds, if the Big Ten and Pac-12 are the only conferences to bail on college football this far, that's what it's going to look like, which is just a more dramatized version of what it's felt like for the last 15 years. That's not good for a sport. When USC and Texas, when the sport was less regional, played the national championship, it got a 22 rating. That's like the Olympics. I mean, that 22 rating is like what election coverage gets, right? Like, that is massive. Ratings now are like 15, 16. It's like, that's 30% less of a rating, 30-35%. And it's not like the teams are bad. Clemson's unbelievable. Alabama's unbelievable. LSU may have been the best college football team we've ever seen. And the numbers are down 35%. People that don't like the NBA complain about ratings. But there's stars all over the country. They're in Milwaukee. They're in Oklahoma City. They're in Miami. They're in Portland. The stars in college football are all jammed down into one region. You want to become a better version of college hockey? I don't think you do. There you go. By the way, I do feel bad for Ohio State. So Ohio State is the one real national title contender that has had its football season canceled. They're preseason number one. You know, Ohio State's been great for 100 years, but they finally got the best quarterback they've ever had, Justin Fields, the best quarterback Ohio State's ever had. They finally hit the home run. They got a guy that could be a number one or two pick, and the season canceled. And I've always said Ohio State is the only SEC team from the North. Between stadium, money, history, passion, commitment, facilities, NFL bodies in a roster, Ohio State is an SEC-committed program. Buckeye Nation is going bonkers this morning. They're really ticked off, and I totally sympathize, and I get it. If I could add a little consolation, a little comfort for Ohio State, I mean, Ohio State football got through the Spanish flu and two world wars. They're not getting through this. I understand the dismay and the anger. I get it. Here's where I would offer comfort. My prediction is by Friday, another major conference is out, and in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they're all probably out. I think the medical stuff we're hearing, I think we're real close. I don't think Pac-12, I'll just say Big Ten, Pac-12 are not the only conferences that are canceling it. It's my prediction, because I do that here occasionally. Andrew Whitworth, one of the best left tackles in football, Hard Knocks Rams, going to be joining us. It's the Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight on FS1, the big bats of Nicholas Castellanos, Joey Votto, and Mike Moustakas lead the Reds against Salvador Perez and the Kansas City Royals. MLB baseball tonight at 6:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Working from home or working somewhere else, Raycon wireless earbuds. 6 hours of playtime. Buy raycon.com/herd, 15% off. So Hard Knocks started last night. They're using both LA teams. I was telling, did I say it on the air? Did I say it in our meeting this morning? SoFi Stadium, I got a look at it this weekend. I was watching the CBS affiliate Jim Hill's a sportscaster. My God, that stadium's unbelievable. It reminds me of Jerry's World, where what I like about it is it used to be stadiums you'd have like lower deck, low seating, then a massive upper deck. And unlike Jerry's Stadium, it's a series of decks, and everybody looks like they have a suite or a television, which is the way to do it. People want to see their fantasy teams. They want to see other games. It's a reality of tech. So SoFi Stadium in L.A., which we fly over every time we fly into town.
A lot of new renovations have it that way because you got to make it so people can see other games and, you know, corporate sponsorships.
SoFi, it's like a really cool mall. I mean, they have these replay screens on it. I mean, that's just L.A. is, you know, at the center of Silicon Valley is California and entertainment.
You're going to make it comfortable. Make it a good experience.
Let's join Andrew Whitworth. He's the oldest offensive lineman in the NFL. He didn't want to hear that. Played 98.9% of the snaps last year. Joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. 15th year in the NFL. You know, Joey and I were talking about this, Andrew, that responsible people also get COVID. Is that you don't know where you get it. I mean, when this thing first started, they talked about you could literally, you know, you could grab something, a bag, and you could get it if you touched your face, which I'm a face toucher all day. So you and your family got COVID. Was it frightening? Take me through the experience. How did it happen, and what was it like to go through it with your entire family?
Yeah, it actually just happened to us right before we went to go see our families back in Louisiana. We had a family member that went to lunch with someone, and it happened to be that restaurant had a breakout, and a couple employees there had it, and a lot of patrons that went ended up with it. And so it was one of those things where, you know, we keep declaring it as guys are going to have to be smart and not make bad decisions. But, I mean, some of it's a little bit of living your life, you know, things can happen. And, you know, having a simple lunch with someone in the wrong place at the wrong time or being somewhere and around someone at the wrong place at the wrong time, it happens quick. The whole family got it. Luckily, everyone did great and everyone's healthy now. So we're happy to be through it.
Now, you know, what's interesting is I was talking to somebody yesterday, a very smart person, and they said, I think football will work. I am concerned about larger linemen, and you are an offensive lineman, don't know your weight, but I'm sure it's close to 300 pounds. Have you thought about that in that range of people concerned close to 300 pounds, although you're in great shape? Is that something that concerns you?
Yeah, I think when we were doing the negotiations with the NFL about coming back to work, I mean, Julian Edelman was one of the guys that brought that up. He's like, you know, having last year David Andrews going through the health scare that he went through and being around that, Julian's kind of brought it up like, I mean, are we going to act like we don't have a large portion of guys in this league that, you know, meet that category and are in that category of really large human beings, and this virus being something that's dangerous for them? And so I think it's something that's all of our concern. And, you know, from what we understand, because we are somewhat in better shape than probably what the number would say as far as what we weigh, there's a little less concern there. But, yeah, I think it's something that a lot of your bigger guys throughout the NFL definitely have in their minds, that's for sure, is a fear.
So Hard Knocks, we're watching that last night, and you've got, I mean, this is the advantage the NFL has over college, in my opinion. Billionaire owners. You can set up bubbles or mini bubbles. You can put down $25 million, test players every day. So give me and take your time. Give me your, I mean, this isn't even a practice day today and you're at the facility. Are you getting tested today?
Yeah. So right now that's the start training camp, Colin, we're really in a scenario where we're getting tested every single day. And I think that time may end up getting extended as well to when we're actually having full padded practices. So right now, basically, even when you're off, you're going to have to come to the facility, take a COVID test, fill out your questionnaire of how you're feeling that day and any symptoms that may be popping up, you know, that you may have had in the last couple of days. You know, they're every single day you're filling out one of those forms. You're taking a COVID test. You're going to temperature checks. They're checking your body weight, doing everything they can to just pick up any kind of just tip that might say that something's going on there. So our typical day is, you know, you get here first thing in the morning, you fill out your questionnaire and confirm how you're feeling. You take a, you know, a temperature check to see whether you have any kind of baseline fever. You get a COVID test, and then you can walk in the building, and you're obviously masked up throughout everything outside of actual football vigorous activity. So it's a different day. Year 15 in the NFL, I never thought I'd be doing some of this stuff, but it's interesting, but it's a long day. But at the end of the day, you know what? Whatever gets us on the field and gets people an opportunity to have a minute to get away and watch football, I think guys are willing to do for that excitement on Sundays.
Andrew Whitworth, offensive lineman, Rams. You know, it's interesting. So you've had COVID in your family. So from what I read, you have the antibodies. You won't get it again, at least in the near future. And you're also a veteran, a family. You're a smart guy. But some of these kids in football rosters are 22 years old. They're single. You know, do you find yourself as a kind of a veteran or a mentor role sometimes? Is McVay addressing this? That for some of the younger players, guys, you can kind of torpedo a locker room on this. I mean, is this discussed by Sean McVay?
Yes, I think this is something that's a daily topic for us, discussing the risks that are involved, you know, what you're doing on a daily activity basis, you know, when we get out of this. Obviously, in training camp right now, you know, we're working, you know, basically 7 in the morning till 7 at night. So there's not a lot of freedom there. But the real concern to me would be when you get into a regular season schedule, when you start traveling, having games, and then you're having time off. I think it's one of those things that I haven't liked how, you know, we'd like to describe it as guys making bad decisions. But, I mean, some of these young kids may just want to go see somebody and not be in their apartment by themselves all the time.
Right.
And going through the vigorous activity of football, just need a release to go, hey, I just want to sit with someone and have a drink or have a meal and visit. And anything like that, just the wrong exposure can cost a team, possibly cost our season. And so it's tough to really, I would think, if I was 22, 23 years old, to wrap my head around the fact that, you know what, for 6 months, you not only want me to do a job that's not easy to do physically, but you really don't want me to have any kind of social life as well. I think that's going to be a struggle for guys, and we just got to continue to encourage them to try to make the best decisions possible. But then also on the other side, medically, we just have to be prudent and make sure that we're doing our temperature checks, wearing our mask, getting COVID tested, and making sure that we're on top of it as much as we can be.
You know, you're a SEC guy, an LSU guy, and a couple conferences have bailed, and I think most will. It's some of these small towns, you know, Baton Rouge, LSU football drives that economy. It's a big deal. Where do you kind of land in the college football? You know, it's funny, I was saying this, that I feel bad because I do think, like, Joe Burrow does not happen if he doesn't come back for his senior year. If Joe Burrow, this was his senior year, he's a fifth-round draft pick. It changed Joe Burrow's life. You played with guys at LSU who didn't have maybe, a lot of financial security when they were 16, 17. Literally, LSU football changes people, generationally changes lives. And that's what I feel bad about. It's not, you know, I can handle as a sportscaster not having college football. Your thoughts about what college football, though, we may have a gameless season.
Yeah, I think it's just wild to wrap your head around. I mean, I look at even in my time there, a guy like Joseph Addai, who was really somebody who played sparingly in his career and after his junior year really had not played as much. And then our senior year, he plays a bunch and becomes a top 10 pick by the Indianapolis Colts. And, you know, it's one of those things that, man, that one season changed his entire life. You know, he goes on to win a Super Bowl as a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like you think about those kind of scenarios and you go – man, just missing this one season, how much it can affect people's lives, not only just football players, but all the people that enjoy to watch it. You know, my senior year at LSU was Hurricane Katrina, and going through that disaster and really realizing to people how much football meant to them. I mean, we would have people come to us daily. You know, our entire campus was a health triage center, basically, and we'd have people all the time come to us and say, look, the only thing I got out of this deal, I lost my house, I lost everything I had, but I got my season tickets, and I just want those couple hours on Saturdays to think about something else. And you look at what we're going through now, it's just almost that opportunity. I think people want it more, not because they think it's safe, not because they think it's going to be okay, but because it's just something to get away and enjoy their sports and enjoy their time to think about something other than what the world's going through.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Andrew Whitworth. So you get tested every day for – I've been tested twice, and I got to be honest with you, I don't like people sticking those things up my nose. It is so weird. So you get tested every single day?
Every single day, Colin, get a brain check.
And that's where that thing goes. I'm not kidding you, Joy. It's right up there next to the pupil. It's not fun. And that's a big tough guy, and he doesn't like it either. Andrew, great talking to you.
Hey, you too, Colin. I appreciate it.
So, Joy, have you been tested yet?
I've been tested twice.
And do you like it?
I don't like doctors in general. I like doctors, people who are doctors, but like I don't like to have to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So no, it's not great. But I honestly think I think I would not mind being tested every day. Because then I'd have no anxiety if I had it.
Do you have anxiety?
I don't have anxiety. Well, I don't want to get sick, obviously, but I don't have a tremendous fear about like if I would survive or not. But I don't want to give it to other people.
Right, right.
Like, that's my anxiety, that I could, like, possibly be asymptomatic and not know, and then through whatever, give it to someone else. I mean, I wear a mask and I'm as responsible as possible, but you never know. No. So if you got tested every day, I don't think I would mind.
All right. Okay, Joy.
I'm a woman. We go through a lot more uncomfortable
stuff. I know, I was going to say, you guys deal
with... We're uncomfortable all the time.
I still cannot understand. Women wear heels.
Yeah, I have heels on right now. I mean, I have the most comfortable heels on that I could possibly
have.
But
your foot right now is like perpendicular to the wall.
Yes, I do not have your super comfortable Swedish running shoes on right now. I mean, I could. No one sees my feet.
I'll tell you right now. Here's what I wear every day. Put these up here. You think Steph Curry's got a shoe deal? this is what I wear. These are Swiss shoes.
Yeah.
My wife got them for me. They're the most comfortable shoes I've ever had in my life. They're not a sponsor. It's a Swiss company.
Yeah. No, there was a period in time where my feet were not feeling great, and I was
just
wearing
sneakers.
Let
me see your shoe right now.
Okay, well, this might be a little more of an operation.
I don't know how you women wear these things. It's insane to me.
So there you go.
I mean, good hell. What is that? Is that even... So you know what? That would be like if my shoe was shaped like this. I'd be walking around
like
that
plastic,
all day.
Like...
I don't know how you guys, so much more respect. And the baby thing. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, I haven't had that experience, but. Yeah.
That's no day at the beach, right?
Then
you have to raise them and stuff?
We have a yearly checkup from the time we're 16 that's not quite pleasant either.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Well, we were kind of wondering about this, and I think this is pretty cool. Regular season NBA awards this year will only include games played before the shutdown in March, but the league announced that they will be doing bubble awards. They will be awarding the top players from the bubble.
Yeah, of course.
So writers and broadcasters who've been covering the restart in Orlando will vote on an MVP and two all-seeding game teams.
All right.
So there'll be five players on each team for a total of 10 players at any position from either conference. All right. Basically, the best players in the bubble. Which I think is pretty cool. So TJ Warren has the best odds to win bubble MVP, plus 200, with Devin Booker, plus 200. So they're tied. This is according to Fox Bet. Damian Lillard, plus 250. Michael Porter Jr., plus 800. And Anthony Davis, plus 1,000. There's a couple more games to play. TJ Warren's been amazing, but he also had two games, one most recently against the Heat, where I think he only had 12, and another game where he only had 16. I would lean towards Damian Lillard or Devin Booker.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I like about the bubble? Phoenix is a great NBA city, and they've been irrelevant for a decade, and Phoenix has been all sorts of fun. It's been great
for them. Well, that's what's been great about the bubble. There really hasn't been a lot of terrible games.
Yeah, boy, Devin.
There's been one or two that were like, eh. But
some guys
for the
are
most
born,
part, the competition has been great.
Some guys are just born to score. Devin Booker and Damian Lillard. They just, whatever it is, it's their feel. Devin Booker is just going to score a bunch of points for 15 years. It is so natural for him. The ball in his hands, he has a beautiful jumper.
And they both have because you mentioned Kobe earlier, they both kind of remind me of Kobe. They both just have that, relentless mentality.
And the great, basketball's always been a sport where the style matters. And there is an artistic, there's an expression. Like in football, you line up the same way, your hands are the same way, and you go at the same time. Basketball's got, there's some artistic expression in it. And the great offensive players all have kind of a vibe or a feel to their game. And Devin Booker, it looks so easy for him. The game comes so naturally for him.
And he's just a hooper. So the bubble has been great for those guys. It's been great for fans. And the fact that he's in Phoenix and Damian's in Portland, like that's what's great about the NBA, that you can have these stars all over the league. So speaking of the Blazers, CJ McCollum hit two big free throws last night to secure the Blazers' win, but had a rough game overall, shooting only 2 of 14 from the field. But he's reportedly dealing with an injury. So according to Dwight Janes of NBC Sports Northwest, McCollum has been playing with a fracture in his lower back since last Thursday.
Not great.
He's played 3 games since the injury. He scored 29 against the Clippers Saturday and 16 against the Sixers on Sunday. He played 39 minutes in all three games. It's not as bad as it sounds, I guess, is how it's being reported, this fractured back. It's slowed other players and had it. Cam Newton and Tony Romo had the similar injury in the NFL. Mike Conley missed 3 weeks after a similar injury in 2016. It sounds awful, and considering that you're doing a lot of jumping and stopping and changing direction in basketball, a fractured back probably is not that comfortable to play with, especially kind of bad news at this point since they're trying to make a playoff run here, but we'll keep an eye on that. So finally, Jerry Jones is still hoping that the Cowboys can host fans during home games this season. This morning, he said the team plans on playing all of their games in front of fans.
Good.
He would not speculate on the number of fans that would be allowed in, but he is confident that the 3 million square foot stadium and high number of suites would be beneficial. He said he believes the stadium's natural built airflow will keep fans safe during this time. And the team will adhere to all state protocols regarding fan attendance, and Jerry expects stadium protocols for game days to come at the end of the week.
Okay, so last week, I go to Park City, and I go to a restaurant. And I wear a mask into it. They sit me down. I'm with friends. And we take our masks off, and we all eat without masks. And there's tables next to us within 6 to 8 feet. In a restaurant, small restaurant, decent ventilation, why can't you have 10,000 people at a Cowboy game? You wear masks in when you get to your seat, and the Cowboys dictate where you can sit. To separate people, you take your masks off because you're with family or friends. Like we have two families we're around. We don't wear masks around them. We vacation with them. We know they don't have it, right? So we trust that. So I don't understand why you can't have. How can American Airlines have every seat filled in a tube at 33,000 feet, and Jerry can't have 10,000 fans inside of a 60,000?
Well, NASCAR's been having fans,
right?
At certain races, so this is possible.
Yes.
My thing is, How much is the mask wearing in the spaces where you need to wear the mask? Say, for example, the restrooms or, you know, concourses. Well, I mean, that's so simple, but people still don't want to wear them inside grocery stores.
Well,
you see people freaking out every day.
No, but you say, basically, you don't give them, like the restaurant. When I go to the bathroom, I put my mask back on. When the waiter came over, he was wearing a mask.
Right.
So you can have people deliver beers or food, they're wearing masks.
No, I'm saying the fans.
That's what I'm saying.
Like stadium personnel and people that are working, right, are being very responsible.
Just
because
wear a mask
they're
the
putting their lives at risk to go to work.
Yeah,
wear
a mask.
But I'm saying the fans,
wear a mask.
What you're saying is very simple, of course, but I'm saying, how are people actually going to do that? That's my concern. Having 10,000 people in a stadium the size of Jerry World, I don't think is unreasonable because, like you said, people are flying, restaurants are open in certain places. Like, there are ways to manage this. I don't love it because I'd rather just do whatever you can to make the actual football product successful and don't put anyone at risk. But if you can have them in certain places, fine. But I'm saying, are fans actually going
yes.
to adhere to it?
You just say, if you see somebody without a mask, you're out of the stadium. Bye. Yeah. See ya. Take off.
I mean, to me, like, having a no tolerance policy for the protocols yes. for fans is the only way to yeah. make that happen.
Be demanding. Like parents, kids do this, or you're out of the house.
You're out of the house.
You're on the street. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
Rob
News.
Parker's got things to say. He'll join us coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
M-Drive, check it out. MDriveForMen.com, MDriveForMen.com. Getting older, putting on weight, don't have the lean muscle mass, lethargic, MDriveForMen.com. Find it at Walgreens. Rob Parker, not only is the instigator of this network, he is the most frugal human being alive, and he is joining us now live from his condo, which he probably paid $30 for. So where did you get that jacket, and how much did it cost you?
Unbelievable deal. This was at Macy's. Tommy Hilfiger, $295 original. Colin, I got it for $23.99. Yes, indeed. Salmon. It's not pink. It's salmon. Beautiful color.
Oh, it's also one of my favorite fish. Okay, let's go to this. I don't buy the Lakers because I think even with LeBron, they're dead last in every offensive category, and that's with LeBron, who's a great setup guy. I just don't buy him. We live in Los Angeles. I don't buy him. They can't stop the three, and they can't shoot it. What do you make of Kyle Kuzma and the Lakers? LeBron pinned his hopes on him the other day.
Yeah, I thought that was a mistake. It's typical LeBron. He's already thrown out a couple of things that could go as excuses for his minions when they don't win, Colin. but for me to say to Kyle Kuzma, he's the reason we're going to win a championship or not, is putting a lot of pressure on an inconsistent. He's a good player sometimes, but sometimes he's a bad player. And I just think to do that publicly, there's no reason to. If you want to go to Kyle Kuzma's locker and talk to him personally and be like, dude, we need this from you. This is what will help us win. I'm good with that. But to put that out there that he's the reason why, when it still comes down to Anthony Davis more than anything, but to put that out there, I thought was a mistake by LeBron.
So you think he's making excuses?
I think he's putting out enough stuff. He already came out and said that there was some off-the-court stuff that he didn't want to talk about that was going on. He's setting up the situation so that when they don't win, and I'm with you, they will not win. The Clippers are going to win the championship. But when they don't win, people will be like, oh, yeah, well, who does he have? Other than AD, he doesn't have anybody. Kyle Kuzma was terrible. J.R. Smith was bad. I mean, there'll be all these other excuses to say why LeBron didn't win a championship.
Damian Lillard, maybe it's because I worked in Portland, but I watch a lot of Blazer games. I think he compares favorably to Iverson in terms of offensive output, and I think Damian has five more peak years left. I mean, I don't think we're close to the end for him. You're what do you make of Portland and Dame? Some think, I'm one of them, they'll beat L.A. in the opener, first round.
I'm not convinced of that. I mean, he's a hell of a player, and he's been tremendous. We know what he can do. But the Trailblazers kind of remind me of the old box of Cracker Jacks, except for when you finish eating it, there's no prize at the end, Colin. I mean, last year they got to the Western Conference Finals and got swept with Dame Lillard, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They weren't ready for prime time. So I'm not convinced that, you know, everybody's putting it out there. It tells you that people don't have any confidence in the Lakers more than they believe in Portland. If Portland were to beat the Lakers in the first round, that would be a major blow to LeBron James, Anthony Davis, the Lakers organization. I don't see Portland beating them. It would be a major upset, and all the headlines would be on LeBron and the Lakers, not on Damian Lillard and Portland.
What do you make of college football shutting down? You're a Big Ten guy. I'm a Pac-12 guy. I love both conferences. They shut it down. I've always thought college athletics is a bit of a house of cards. Only football makes any money in a handful of college basketball programs. What do you make of it this morning? What are your emotions?
You know what? They did the right thing, Colin. If you can't guarantee that these kids are going to be safe, and people who keep sprouting out all these figures of what players didn't test positive and all the tests that they've taken. If that's the case, then why in the world are kids have to sign waivers to play? It tells you that they can't guarantee their health and their well-being. That's why, and they don't want to be held liable. And shame on Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh and all these other coaches who are defying the college presidents and the ADs and talking about, you know, that the kids want to play and they will want to play and all this stuff. Colin, are those guys going to take their salaries from this year, put it in a trust fund for these kids who they want to go out and play football, and if something happens, they can go to that? Those guys, Saban, Harbaugh, all these top coaches, will not be left holding the bag if these schools play and God forbid something bad happens long term. You know who will be liable? The schools will be liable. So it's easy for coaches to stick their chests out and tell everybody that we understand that kids want to play football and they want to coach football. And Colin, we want to watch football, right? It'd be good for Fox and ESPN and all the other networks. We all get it. But if you can't guarantee their health, which nobody can, I don't see how in the world you can go forward. The NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, those are professionals. They're getting paid.
Yeah.
I think they did the right thing in college.
By the way, baseball, you're a Hall of Fame baseball writer. And you are, yeah, your history is writing, and then you got into radio and buying very inexpensive, beautiful suits. So they're considering a playoff bubble. What do you make of that?
I think it's easier when you have less teams. I think the idea of trying to do a bubble with 30 teams and what they were trying to do. And remember, Colin, the first idea, do you remember the three states they were talking about putting the bubbles in? It was Arizona, Florida, and Texas, all that had spikes after they reopened too soon. So that, I don't know, I'm not so sure that that would have been the best idea. But anyway, I think if it's a smaller number of teams and you could kind of manage it and you're not playing with fans, so it doesn't matter where you play at, that could work. And it's good for baseball to revisit that. I would be all in favor of it.
Yeah, 13,000 tests, 0.1 have been positive. So baseball's getting a bad rap because the Marlins are goofy. But overall, they've done a really good –
They have done a good job.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
It's only the Marlins and the Cardinals.
That's it.
Look at all the games that are playing. People are like, oh, baseball, they messed – they dropped the ball. No, they didn't. If the players follow the protocol and do what they're supposed to, there's going to be a chance of a spike, Colin, once or twice. But so far, it's been working. I've been watching baseball every night.
Yeah. Finally, my NFL predictions came out yesterday. They were genius, I thought. You didn't like one in particular. It was Brady, Atlanta, or something?
Yes. I can't believe you. Atlanta is going to take that spot from the Tampa Bay Bucs. The Bucs are going to have year 13, a Baker's dozen of not making the playoffs, old Tom Brady, old Gronk, old Shady McCoy. I mean, it's like putting the band back together. I'm not buying into it. I remember you were high on the Browns a year ago. You thought that they would make the playoffs at the end. You remember I argued with you, and I told you that they wouldn't make the playoffs on your show, and I'm going to do it again. The Bucs with Tom Brady will not, N-O-T, make the playoffs.
All right. So where'd you buy that suit, by the way? I may go to that store and buy myself something nice. Where was that over there?
You should. This was at Macy's. Also, check out Nordstrom Rack. They got some great jackets, great prices, Colin.
Do you shop every day?
I don't work for the stores. You know what? 3 or 4 times a day, a week, I'm in the stores taking a look around. You got to be patient. You got to look through the rack. And here's the biggest thing. Don't buy anything if it isn't your size and you really don't like it.
He shops 3 or 4 times a week. I don't think I shop 3 or 4 times a decade. That's incredible.
You got a life. You got a wife and kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess when I was single, I shopped more. That's a good point there, Rob. You look fantastic as always. Rob Parker, thanks, man.
Thanks, bud.
Fellas, now use the right tools. Revolutionary Manscaped, the Lawnmower 3.0, skin-safe technology, trimmer reduces cuts, free shipping too. Manscaped.com, code H-E-R-D for all the, you know, nose, ears, areas. There you go. Got a vice president on the Democrat side, Kamala Harris. How about that? We got now we got it all ready to go. What is it now? Mid-August?
August
12th. September, October. So we're 3 months away from a lot of potential outcomes. Well, actually two.
Exactly.
Two potential outcomes. All right, Brock Huard's going to stop by. A college football, really smart guy, former quarterback for the Washington Huskies will stop by. He now works for Fox Sports. What do we do with college football? I feel bad for Ohio State. I think Ohio State's the one team I'm like, they're the one national championship contender. They're a preseason number one. Boom, season's over. So if Ohio State fans are freaking out, we would all freak out. They canceled the NFL and you were in Baltimore today, you wouldn't be happy. Hour three next.